So this is a very familiar part of the Bible that we'll read. There is something that you could read this story so many times, and yet there's something in here that might get missed, and it's almost one of those surprising things. If you haven't seen it, you might say, "Well, where did that come from? How did that? I've never seen that in all the years." Because if you've been a believer for most of your life, or even part of your life, you've probably read through this story many, many times. And yet, this often gets missed. And so, we're going to read this, and the Bible has meaning for our life as well. And so, this is not just Moses and a king. This has meaning for our life as well, because God looks at the heart, and that is what God is trying to change in our lives. He views the heart, just as he told the selection of David, the king. He says, "Man views the outside, but I view the heart." So he's looking at our heart. So we're going to read about 14 verses just to get the story. This is the second plague, and we're going to start in verse number 1 of Exodus 8. "And the Lord spoke to Moses, 'Go to Pharaoh and say to him, Thus says the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. But if you refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all your territory with frogs. So the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into your house, into your bedroom, on your bed, into the houses of your servants, on your people, into your ovens, and into your kneading bowls. And the frogs shall come upon you, on your people, and all your servants.' Then the Lord spoke to Moses, 'Say to Aaron, stretch out your hand with your rod over the streams, over the rivers, and over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up on the land of Egypt.' So Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs out of the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, 'Entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go that they may sacrifice to the Lord.'" And here's the part that if you haven't seen this before, this is very, very amazing. "And Pharaoh said to Moses, accept the honor of saying when I shall intercede for you, for your servants, and for your people to destroy the frogs from you and your houses, that they remain in the river only. So he said, tomorrow. And he said, let it be according to your word, that you may know that there is no one like the Lord our God. And the frogs shall depart from you, from your houses, from your servants, and from your people, and they shall remain in the river only. Then Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh and Moses, and Moses cried out to the Lord concerning the frogs which he had brought against Pharaoh. So the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and the frogs died out of the houses, out of the courtyards, out of the fields. They gathered them together in heaps, and the land stank. But when Pharaoh saw that there was relief, he hardened his heart, and he did not heed them, as the Lord had said." Think about the situation that's going on here. The Lord describes how the plague is going to happen. Frogs are going to be everywhere. They're going to be on your bed. They're going to be in your pots. They're going to be all over your house. Wherever you go, you just see frogs everywhere. That's the picture that you have in your mind, because it's a plague. It's not just a few extra frogs. It's a plague. And Moses says to Pharaoh, "When do you want the plague to go?" And he says, now think about what you would say. "Right now, immediately. I called you in here for a reason, because I want them to go. It can't be soon enough. I want all these frogs gone. They're everywhere. I imagine they're even on him and jumping around. while he's talking to Moses. I imagine that, because the Bible says they're everywhere. It's a plague. And Pharaoh says, how about tomorrow? Tomorrow. It's unfathomable to me that he says, I want the plague to stay around for one more day. This is a heart issue with Pharaoh. This is something that's going on in his heart, and God is trying to look at the heart. And at the end of the whole chapter, it says Pharaoh hardened his heart again, because there's a heart problem going on. There's something going on inside that God is trying to get at. And it comes out so clearly. It's a plague. And he says, I'll deal with it for another day. And this is not here just as a neat little story and a fun little thing, because, you know, images come to our mind and, you know, it's easy to picture. This is because very often we're like little pharaohs. We have similar heart issues at times. There are times when we pray for something, when we look for guidance, when we look for answers, when we're entreating the Lord, Lord, take this thing away from me. You know the kinds of problems. They're not frogs in your house, but they're problems that you can't get away from. Wherever you go, your mind is there. Whatever you're doing, you try and think of other things, do other things, but yet your mind goes back to it. You can't forget the pain. You can't forget the need. You can't forget the situation. You can't forget the hurting of someone else, whatever it is. And we go through these things. And maybe it's not a plague, but it's certainly a need in our lives. Certainly we have these needs, and they follow us around, and we call out to God, and sometimes the answer will come, and we say, well, it's not in the form that I like, so let's not take the answer right now. Let's wait and see if something else comes along. Let's endure the situation for another day. And there's all kinds of reasons that this could happen. And we can imagine what's going on in Pharaoh's mind. Because Moses, he's a slave. And Moses used to be in the Egyptian court, so Pharaoh must have known him. And here he is, a slave now, and now a slave is telling the king of Egypt, the most powerful, one of the most powerful men, if not the most powerful man on the earth, that he'll help him. Pharaoh, I'll be the one to help you. Pharaoh, you ask me when I can help you. And that has got to just whelm up something in the heart of Pharaoh that says, I can't do this. And we often have these things as well, these same kinds of things. We often have, even when an answer comes, it might come in our life, and we're so independent that we say, we could just live with it a little longer. I don't really need help. Sometimes it comes in the form of somebody else, a friend, a brother, a sister, whoever it is. Could be anyone. Sometimes it comes in different ways. And we say, I could just live with it. I could just live with it another day. It's okay. I don't need the help right now. I'll live with the situation, even though it's crushing my mind, even though it's waking me up in the morning, even though it's keeping me up at night. I'll just live with it for another day. I don't need your help. It's okay. We start to get that even when we're kids, right? This independent streak. Little kids who can't do anything. They can hardly hold the spoon, but yet they know enough to say, I'll do it. I'll do it myself. I'll do it myself. I don't need your help. This is the way we are. It's somehow inbred in us, even as little children, and then we get older, we get a little more sophisticated, but yet it's there. It's there, that independent streak. I don't need your help. And we say it nicer, and we might say it a little more correct, socially correct, but it's the same thing. I could do it alone. The Bible tells us that we're to be a body. And the body is all connected. And the body all helps itself. And the body is a one big unit, even though we're all separate, but we all work together. We're to be interdependent. We're not to be as independent as people like. And independence is worn like a badge almost. Independence is worn like, hey, I'm doing it alone. I don't need anybody's help. And we hear people say that, and we often, you know, we hear these kinds of things, whether it's in the media or wherever, and it's like they're saying it proudly. I'm strong, I'm independent, don't need anybody. And it's a little bit of Pharaoh. It's a little bit of Pharaoh. See, the plagues are nice when they're way out there, and they're like, okay, that you know, there's no frogs, that doesn't apply to me. It's a great story, but now it comes close. Now it comes a little closer. Yeah, I got a little bit of that in me. And God's looking at the heart. God's looking at the heart. And it's so clear that the suffering of the whole land and sometimes your suffering too is just a yes away. Just a yes away. The plague could go away if I would just say yes. If I would just answer differently. If I would just make the phone call. If I would just make the first move. If I would just be the one who makes the effort, then the plague could go away. The problem could go away. The situation could be remedied. But I don't want to do that because I'm independent. And I got pride. That's another thing that has to be going on in Pharaoh's mind. The pride of needing help. I don't want to do it that way. I don't want you to think that I need you. I don't like your solution. And we go through this all the time. We go through it all the time. The Bible, some people walk around. Here's an example. Some people walk around for years with grudges. For years. Sometimes those grudges are even passed down from generation to generation, and the second generation doesn't even know why. But yet they hold them anyway. And sometimes a thought will come up, or a person's name will come up, or a situation or a company or something will come up, and then all of a sudden the feelings are there and the emotion is real. And it's like that little plague that's there, and it's hidden, and then it rises up, and the answer to the Bible says is love and forgiveness. And the Bible says, this is your answer. And we say, well, we'll keep the plague for a while. We'll keep the plague for a little longer because it's okay. I could deal with it. I don't need to say sorry. I don't need to make the first move. They were the ones who were wrong, not me. And so we keep the plague for another day. And we keep the plague for another year. And we keep the plague, and then we pass the plague down to our next generation. It's this stubborn defiance sometimes. I'm tough enough. I'm tough enough. Have you ever seen it? Have you ever seen people that are in the eye of like a hurricane? They're in the path of a hurricane. They're not in the eye. And they're interviewed, and the evacuation order has been given. Get out. You know, everybody get out. And, you know, there's always one or two that say, no, I'm going to tough it out. There's always one or two, and the news always finds them. Usually some people in a rickety old house, and they think that they're going to be able to stand the hurricane. I'm tough enough. I'll be able to weather the storm. I'll be able to do it. And 2 days later, you see them on a roof with a sign, help. And then, and now the Coast Guard or some other well-meaning people are there to rescue them. They're saying, yeah, I'll stand the storm for a day. No one, I don't need your help. I don't need anybody's extra effort. I'm tough enough. My pride is strong. Storm isn't going to get the best of me. And then they need to be rescued. And when they need to be rescued, it's a little harder. It's not as easy as when the ground is all dry. It's not as easy as when things are, they can just walk down the street. It's not as easy. And we see that here too. We'll let the frog stay another day. And the interesting thing, some of the plagues, if you read on, some of the plagues, they went away. They just were gone. You know, what you read forward, you'll see. The plagues, just the land just disappeared. Everything that was a part of the plague, they all just disappeared. But not this case. Not this case. The frogs just died where they were. And that happens to us too, right? We say, well, let them stay for a little bit. And then the problem doesn't go away. They just get bigger. And so now they have a whole land full of frogs. And the land stinks. And the land stinks, and people have to get all the frogs and shovel all the frogs and put them all in a pile. And that's often the way our problems are too. They don't get better. They just pile up. And then they start to stink. And they start to be a problem. And people around you smell. They're like, I smell that bitterness. I smell that that unforgiveness. I smell that lack of love. I smell that. Doesn't smell good. Something's wrong. And we're a little bit like mini pharaohs. We're a little bit like mini pharaohs. Because we say, we'll live with it another day. I won't address it. Even though it's so obvious, I won't address it. I got this by myself. Don't need your help. Sometimes, even though this can't be Pharaoh, but it is in us many times, we say, well, I don't want to be a burden to anybody. I don't want to be a burden to anybody. I don't want them to have to fuss over me, well-meaning, loving people. I don't want them to fuss. And for sure, Pharaoh's not there. For sure, Pharaoh's not there, but we're there often. And it's another excuse for us to live with the plague for tomorrow, till tomorrow. I don't want to be a burden to them. They're offering me help, but I don't want to be a burden. I don't want to have them go out of their way. And many times you know when the grace in the other person is gone. Many times you know that. You can sense that very often, that the grace is gone. But there are many, many times when the grace is there in the other person to help with the need, and they're just wanting to help. They just want to help. It's not a burden. The grace, God has given them grace, and they're extending the grace because we're all a body. And God provides in various ways, many times not the ways we want, but he does that. That's the way he does it. You'll have to take it up with God one day and ask him why he does it. But he wants to get at our hearts. And the grace is there, but we say, no, we'll wait. We'll wait. Tomorrow's okay. The next day's okay. Next month is okay. I'll live with the plague a little bit longer. I can bear with it. I'm learning to live with it. I'm starting to name a few of the frogs. I'm going to keep a few in a little jar, and they're going to be my friends. That's what we do. And maybe it's just the fact that, maybe it's just part that we just put it off. It's not Pharaoh. He's not doing that. But we do it. We put it off. We put things off till tomorrow. I could address it today, But I'm not going to address it today. I think tomorrow will be a better day. I've had a long day already. I've already done a lot of things, and I'm not mentally prepared, and I'm not physically prepared, and I got to do something else, and I'll just put it off till tomorrow. I won't address what it is today. I'll do it tomorrow. Even though it's very important, I got these other things that are kind of important, and they've been on my mind, and they've been on my list, and they've been there for a long time, and I better address those today. But the thing that's most important, the plague, I'll address that tomorrow. And we do that. We make excuses, and we say, and we procrastinate, and we say, not today. I'll do it tomorrow. Tomorrow is good enough. And we do that with a lot of things. The doctor might tell you, you got to do this. Well, I don't really want to do that. Maybe I'll do it tomorrow. Maybe I'll start tomorrow. Somebody else gives you a piece of advice. I know I got to get to that, but I don't really think that, you know, I'm ready to do it today. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll put it off till tomorrow. I should take these. I should stop doing this, but I'll do it tomorrow. I should start doing this. I'll do it tomorrow. This is a good idea. You've been advised to do things by everyone around. I'll do it tomorrow. Not today. I'll give it a few more days. I'll see what happens. They're all symptoms of wanting to get through the difficulty by yourself. The answer is in front of you very often, and you say, I'll live with it another day. I don't need to address it now. And it's a matter of the heart. It's a matter of the heart. And that's what God looks at. God's looking at the heart saying, well, how is your heart doing? What's going on inside? And we look at the Bible and we see that the Bible is a mirror, and it shows us, if we look deep into it and we look clearly into it, it could show us where we are. It's not just a cute story about Pharaoh. It's a story about you and me. It's a story about how the human condition and what happens inside of all of us. We all at times have these little mini pharaohs that run around and creep up in us. How we act and how we react and how we respond and what we do in the situations of life. And if we don't address them, the problems just pile up. They just pile up. And as that verse says, they just gathered them together in heaps everywhere they were. Gathered them together in heaps, and the land stank. The land was overrun with problems, but yet Pharaoh said, we could wait. It's okay. Tomorrow. He had the answer in his hands. It was a word away. It was a word away. It was a yes away. It was today, now. That would have ended it. And yet he said, we'll wait. We'll give it some time. Maybe it'll get better. Maybe I won't need you tomorrow. And we do the same things. Oh, our situations are different. And you have to kind of look and examine yourself to see how you fit in, but many times we fit right in. And God's looking at the heart. And God's saying, change. God's saying, change the heart. Change the way you are. God loves a humble person. God loves one who is not. It says he's against the proud. And God wants us interdependent, not dependent, independent, all by ourselves, an island alone. This is not the way the Word of God pictures the body of Christ. It pictures us all together, all helping, all part of one another. When one hurts, the other hurts. This is the way we are. This is the way we should be. It's not about the plague. It's about the heart. It's not about the frogs. It's about the heart. The question is, where is your heart in your problem? God knows how to fix the problem, but he wants to change us in the process. He's looking to change us in the process, make us more like Christ in the process. We read that verse last Tuesday night. There's an eternal weight of glory that goes along with our problems. Our problems come as we, and our problems have the opportunity to produce an eternal weight of glory in us. If we look at the spiritual, if we look at the eternal rather than the physical. So we look at the eternal. We look at what God is trying to do in our lives, and we ask him for the grace to change and be more like his son Jesus each and every day. His name be praised. At this time, we're going to go